Okay, this is all about writers and authors. And today we've got Victoria Lowry. Now, do you want me to use your full name, Victoria Lowry Hopkins? Or I noticed that on some of your social media, it's Victoria Lowry. And then on some places, I show the hyphenated name. And I just want to honor you on whatever it is you prefer.
Thank you. No, and my as a writer, it's just Victoria Lowry.
Okay, very good.
So we'll stick with
Victoria
that.
Lowry. Very nice. I want to welcome everyone on the call today. We try to come virtually once a month and just uplift anything that has to do with writing and being an author and getting published. So it's everything from writing nonfiction to writing fiction to even blogging. We have a lot of folks that they want to get started and they're not sure how to get started, and blogging is a perfect way to get started because it gets you writing. It gets you putting, back in the olden days, that pen to paper, so to speak. I think today most of us write on a computer or a laptop. And for some of us, it's even better than that, because for some of us, I actually just go to Google Docs and turn on my microphone and I can talk right into the document and Google types for me. And then I can circle back around and do some editing later. My own edits, of course, is not the same as having an editor. And we covered that in a previous call where if you're going to publish, you do need to pay attention to getting your work edited correctly. And there's all different levels of editing, and we covered that in a previous call. So today, I just want to tell you a little bit about who I am and what I do. I am a passive income mentor, and I used to call myself a passive income coach, but I love mentoring better, I think, than coaching, because I like to give it away. I love to see everyone take their next best step, and whatever that is. I see Deepak has jumped on. Deepak, come on up and join us. We're going to at least allow you to chat with us, but if you want to share your camera, you're welcome to do that as well. And I just want to say welcome to Sandy and Sally and Victoria and Judy and Elise and Stacy and now Deepak. I'm glad that you are here. And I have an actual online academy where I have some courses, and then we also record this particular call, and then I save this recording also there in the academy so that anytime you want to go back and listen to a replay, you can do that. They're all categorized by topic. So if you're looking for a particular topic like the editing and the differences in editing, feel free to go back and look at some of those. And that way, we've got some more folks coming on, so I'll make sure they get clicked through here. And so that way you can go back at any time and listen to any of those replays, and the course is there. Now, the course is a little more involved. I'm not going to read the course to you. I did kind of a summary of our topic for today before we chat with Victoria. And so I'm going to share my screen and just show everyone where they can find that. Again, we've got a couple of more folks coming on. So let me I'm inviting them to come up as a panelist, but I'm letting them actually chat with us as well in case they don't want to come up on the camera. So, but you're welcome to open up your camera if you want to do that. So anyway, I'm going to share my screen and you can find me, and I'm going to show it to you right here. You can see the URL. I have to, again, on my computer, it covers it up, so I have to move it. So you can see me here at Kathy Benner International Academy, or you can go to just kathybenner.com. And you can click on that and come over to the drop down, and then you see this authors and writers, and that's where I want to show you where we are. Right here in this authors and writers, the 2024 free authors and writers, that's where you'll find the replay. And right next to it is the actual course. So when you click on the course and scroll down, it tells who it's for, what it's for, how you can sign up, all of that good stuff. But as you scroll down, you can see all the different topics here that we cover. And today we're talking about designing a book cover that converts your readers. I don't know about you, but when I go to the bookstore, it's the book covers that jump off the shelf at me first. You know, if the book cover looks kind of ho-hum, I have a tendency to gravitate toward the one that's a little more exciting. So that's what we're going to talk about briefly today, is designing that book cover. Here are the other topics that we've already discussed, and here are the topics that we plan to discuss in upcoming Zoom meetings. And then when you scroll down, here is the curriculum, and here is that designing an eye-catching book cover that stands out in 6 steps. And you just click the start button, and it takes you right to the course, and it has all of the information. Now, I'm going to stop sharing because I'm not going to just read this to you, because all of you can tap in there and read that when you're ready. Before I get started, I am going to introduce Sandy and let her tell us a little bit about her workshop that's coming up. And I'm going to jump over into the participants and let some more folks in while she's sharing. And then I'll circle back and I'll just give a summary and overview of the 6 steps. And then we'll get on with our conversation with Victoria. So Sandy, over to you. I am going to make you my co-host. So you can click through on that. And Sally, may I make you a co-host as well?
Yep.
Okay, so we'll make Sally a co-host as well. And so over to Sandy.
Hi there, and morning. I hope all is well in your neck of the woods. Yes, I am all about writers and helping those writers get to the end of their story and beyond. My tagline for Into the Springs Writers Workshop is cultivate your craft, grow your writing business and community. And in Yellow Springs, Ohio, if you've never heard of it, by all means, look it up online. It is an oasis in Ohio in different sorts of ways, just very, very unique. And for one weekend, usually the first weekend in August, I have 2 to 3 featured guests, authors, or experts for the weekend. And I work them hard. They have to be here when we begin on Friday, and they don't necessarily leave the room until noon on Sunday. All the writers, all the attendees are in the same space, the same sessions. So the trick comes into, how do I get writers? My two featured authors are Andrew Welsh Huggins, who is a mystery author mainly, though he's also worked for the AP as a journalist in downtown Columbus, Ohio. And I have Jeffrey Marks. He is the publisher of Crippen and Landrieu Publishers. Crippen and Landrieu does classic mystery and short story mystery collections. But they've been experienced in this world. So for that weekend, you get to ask your questions whenever they pop up. Because sometimes you have a session, then your sessions go by or someplace else, or the next day, then the question hits you, or you're too shy to raise your hand and ask it. Well, these two featured guests will be there the whole weekend, sitting through most of the presentations. Sometimes, and in this case, 2 of the sessions, both of them will be doing it together. How to take your short story from an idea to publication is one, and because they are mystery writers, the history of the mystery genre. And even for some of us who are not mystery writers, it's always fascinating to get a hint or an idea of what the other genres are doing, because nowadays we can write across the various genres. So not only will I have Andrew and Jeffrey all there for you, I also have a special, and this is interesting. I don't normally pull in a special session, but the Ohio audiobook narrators are unique in their own specialty of narrating your book. Who's going to narrate it? Are you doing it? Are you asking a professional to do it? What's a legitimate contract look like? How has artificial intelligence affected the narrating audiobook artists, as someone called them, world? So you get to listen, you get to put it all together for yourself and make your own decisions. Not only are there sessions, but Jeffrey and Andrew are doing private one-on-one critiques. Your first 10 pages, Andrew is more than happy to critique them and make comments in your text, and then meet with you for up to 15 minutes outside of sessions and talk with you about it.
Jeffrey, Sandy, that's huge.
Yeah, it is.
That's huge.
Good. I'm glad you think so.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Extra than the registration fee, but for, hey, for $50, it's really worth it. And Jeffrey is going to look at your, if you're trying or going the traditional agent route, you need a query letter. And he's willing to critique a query letter. Now, query letter, you know, 250 words compared to 10 pages. But believe me, if you don't have a good query letter, you're not going anywhere in with an agent. So he's going to talk about that. Again, he'll spend up to 15 minutes with you. He'll write in critique, critiques for it as well. Then I have on Saturday night, new this year, if you have a book to sell, we'll set you up for 2 hours and sell your book. I say book, this is my first time doing this, and we're in the banquet room, and there's the round tables that you normally see in places, and I don't know if I'll have room for everybody, so we're doing a half table. But we have the Epic Bookstore in Yellow Springs coming in too to sell all those writing books. And she's willing to sell your books for you if you want to get in touch with her. And then the evening ends. We have a cash bar, of course, and I invite the community to come in. We have open mic reading. So you can read us 7 minutes, up to 7 minutes of your work. Doesn't have to be poetry. It can be just picking those vital 7 minutes. And if you're shy about doing that, I have two young actors who are more than happy to read it for you. Matter of fact, it's kind of nice when they do, even if you're a good reader, because you get to hear it in a very professional setup. So that's what I do. It's in that August in which you've probably spent a lot of the summer thinking, worrying, reading your craft books, looking at webinars. This is a chance to really interact and talk with people and getting ready to go back at it when you leave. And when you're all by yourself again, it's just you and the screen. You will have at least had like an inspirational sort of an experience that hopefully will get you going exactly where you want to be. Thanks.
Sandy, thank you so much for that. Now, I don't know if any of you on the call have not been to a writer's workshop. This is a great one to start with because it's a little smaller than some. And now that I've met Sandy, I have now attended three or four different workshops, but I also attended Sandy's. And hers is still my favorite one, even after attending the other ones, because she not only brings in the professionals, but you're in a room full of writers. And so I learn a lot just listening listening to what's going on around me when you're in a workshop like that. There is so much to learn. And I love the readings and the critiques. And I mean, all of it just fits together if you are aspiring to be a published author. So I encourage you to attend a writer's workshop close to where you are. If you're close enough to Yellow Springs, Ohio, please attend Sandy's. The price is right. The location is beautiful and lots of great information. So now I want to segue over to Sally. Sally is my other co-host, my other co-mod on this particular call. And Sally and I, we put together a whole blogging segment for folks that want to start a blog. Let's say that they're really not ready to jump into writing a whole book, but they want to start blogging. And Sally, not only does she have a blog, but she has connected it to her business and she is monetizing her blog. So I'm going to turn it over to Sally for a moment and let her share what she does.
Well, what I do is I'm the owner of Mermaid Travel. And Victoria, I remember you. Hi.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
But I do have a blog. It's called embracetheunexpected.net. I came up with that because I used to be very, let's say, rigid in wanting everything to be right on a trip, wanting everything to be right, you know, go well in life, but that hardly ever happens. So I got over that real quick when we were going on what was called a Windjammer Barefoot cruise that was supposed to leave out of Trinidad. And it was a while leaving the dock and then the motors quit. So we were kind of stranded. We had to change our plans. But it ended up being, we didn't go to the ABC Islands, but we went to St. Vincent. We went to a different location, and it was wonderful. So I loosened up after that, because nothing is perfect. So I have the blog. Sometimes I talk about, my last blog was either, I think, the end of last month, the beginning, just talking about real ID, the fact that you need a real ID card by May 7th, 2025. Mm-hmm. So talked about that. That was my latest blog. So that is kind of a mix of personal. I've talked about, I got married a couple years ago and we went on a train trip for a honeymoon. I talked about that and my love of trains. So it's a mix. It can be practical or personal.
I love that, Sally. And I do follow your blog. And I just booked an airfare here just recently. And the airlines actually has that little notification popped up at the top of their screen saying that after that date, mm-hmm. You have to have that verification of identification. So if folks, if you haven't done that yet, or you're traveling locally and you don't have a passport, make sure that you update your driver's licenses the very next time you get your driver's license renewed. Make sure, and I don't know if they'll even let you renew it without that, actually. So I'm not positive. Mine renews this year in July, so I'll find out.
Yeah. And if you have a real ID driver's license already, because they've changed the date several times, it'll have a star on the upper right corner.
Okay, so that's the cue that you are in compliance, as if there's a star on your driver's mm-hmm. license. Okay.
And then there's enhanced driver's license that Ohio doesn't have yet, but that only 5 states do, and it's 5 states that border Canada. So the enhanced driver's license lets you get into Canada with that card.
Without a passport.
You still can't fly, though. You know, if anything happens, you still need a passport to fly, but this will get you over the land. Ohio's still working with Canada.
Okay. Well, good to know. So see, Sally's good to have in your corner when you're going to travel a little bit. And I don't know about you, but whenever I talk to folks out there at large, one of the biggest comments that I get all the time is, I just want to travel more, because my academy is all about freestyle living. And I know I want to travel more. And that's why I keep Sally close, because I want to travel more. So anyway, Sally, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So if you have any questions, you know, jump in, put them in the chat or raise your hand, let us know. I want to talk briefly about an eye-catching book cover in 6 steps. And again, I'm not going to just read the lesson to you, but I am going to give you an overview. Number one, I think when you're starting to write and you know that you want to get published, even if you're just writing something as an ebook to put on your website, which a lot of us have done, you have to understand your genre and your target audience. So I say research that genre. And the best way to research it is to read a lot of books in that genre. And especially if you're going to do nonfiction or even fiction, depending on what genre. I think you have to kind of know what sells. And I think you can do that by just reading and researching. And so you can kind of analyze the successful covers. And I don't know about you, but Amazon is the easiest place to do that these days, because you can just pull up a particular genre and you can just scroll right down the Amazon page and you can see the sales that certain authors are getting. And you can look at those covers and you can see what is popular. And so then even if you have an audience yourself, if you have some readers that are following you, you can engage with them as your target audience. And I don't know if you've seen this or not, if you've been in some writers groups online, virtually online, but sometimes folks will pop their 4 or 5 book covers up there and they'll have their audience vote. And I'm always amazed because, and just know I'm a student of this. Sometimes I'll pick a cover. I'll go, oh, this is the one, hands down. And then a week later, they'll say, here's the winner. And it's never the one I picked. So that tells me I'm not on top of that. I'm not what the average audience wants to see. So now that I know that about me, I know that I more than ever need to go out and say, here are my options and vote on what you think is a favorite book cover. Because obviously I don't have the exact same taste that the average reader of that genre might have. And that's important to know about yourself, I think. So you can conduct that kind of market research on your own and kind of see. But step two is you have to determine the key message and concept of the book. So you have to analyze your book's content and identify the main themes, the characters, the plot elements. And once you have that, try to put that down into a concise statement that this is my key message and concept of my book. Then you can consider the emotional tone. Ensure that the concept and the visuals evoke that emotional tone that you're looking for. I mean, if you're writing a thriller, you want the cover to look a little scary, you know? So you have to kind of get that emotional tone into the cover as well. And then create number three, create a strong visual hierarchy. So ensure that your book title is bold and easily readable. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll look at a cover and especially when they're self-published and they put them up on Amazon, sometimes the fonts are so hard to read. And if I have to hesitate to see what the book is about or what the cover is, I have a tendency when I'm scrolling, looking for another book that I want to buy or put into my library, I have a tendency to scroll past some of those. So be sure you don't do that. And create a lot of negative space too. I've seen some covers that are so busy because the author thinks everything is so important to put out there on that cover. They want to make sure that they catch all the different readers that might be interested in their book, and they actually put too much on the cover. And again, I have a tendency to scroll past some of those because I don't want to stop and read all of that little tiny print all the way down. So step four, use engaging imagery, something that connects them to what the book is about. So your artwork is very, very important. And then step five, color palette. And I don't know about you, but you can actually research this and you can ask, you can actually Google this or put it into your chat GPT or whatever you're using to do research these days. And you can say, if I'm writing a book about X, what is the most popular color for my cover? And the reason that's important is because readers are already expecting something when they see that particular color. They're already expecting, like, for example, I love mysteries. And the number one cover for a mystery is a midnight scene with a house with one light on in one window. When you see that, you know, ooh, this is going to be a great mystery. And it's just the cover. So make sure that you pay attention to that color palette. Now, I have two books published now in the business realm. They are nonfiction. And the number one color for business books right now is a shade of blue, darker, navy maybe, with kind of a muted mustard yellow. That's the number one color combination for business books that are selling. So my last two books have some color palette along that line. And then the last but not least is pay attention to your layout. The fonts are important. The readability is important. The balance, again, that open space, all of that makes a difference on whether somebody is going to say, let me see what this book is about, and to pick it up and to either open it, or if they're online, to click on that Amazon where they can get a sample of the first few pages in the book. But it's so important to hook your reader with that cover. So covers are important. Now, if you want to learn more about designing an eye-catching book cover in six steps, go to thekathybinner.com, scroll over to the authors and writers and down to the course, and you are welcome to jump in there and learn more about book covers. And all of our topics are there already. Even the ones we haven't talked about on the call, they're already in there. Now, I keep adding information every month. So as I get more information, I add more to the Academy. And so I love that several of you I see on this call are members already, and I love that. Now we want to jump over and talk to Victoria. Victoria, thank you for being with us. She is our honorary author of the day. She is a best-selling and award-winning author with experience as a newspaper columnist. And Victoria, I wanted to be in journalism back in high school. That was my first career choice. So, and she is also a cable talk show host. Doesn't she look beautiful like a talk show host should look? Anytime I see her pictures, I'm like, she looks like she could be a talk show host. I love that. She engages readers to explore their inner space as a final frontier of human consciousness. With an avid interest in interpersonal relationships and the meaning of life, Victoria was inspired to leave her career as a CEO of a Chamber of Commerce executives of Ohio for her writing. Her books are infused with themes of relationship connection and finding purpose, supported by 12 years of work as a spiritual therapist. Gosh, Victoria, where do you live? I want to live next to you. Where do you live?
There's a couple of houses for sale near me. So come on up. I'm in Tiffin, Ohio.
Oh, Tiffin. Oh, you're not that far. Okay. I'm just on the edge of Columbus. Yep. Not too far. Okay. Now, Victoria has received 2 years of education at Marion University in Indianapolis and completed her bachelor's degree at Wright State. And she is honored to serve as Mrs. Ohio and as the state ambassador for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So welcome, Victoria. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
It's so nice to see all these faces here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I am so happy that you're here. Now, you have a nickname, and it's called the Love Lady. How did that nickname come about? And how does that have anything to do with your writing?
Oh, sure. A lot. Now, I think I met Sally when I was still working with the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. partly answers your question, because at that time, for some reason, everybody just called me the Chamber Lady. I was the Chamber Lady in our town. And they didn't know my name, but I was the Chamber Lady. So I left. I was CEO of the Chamber of Commerce Executives of Ohio, which is the professional association for Chamber of Commerce executives. And I left that in 2010. And it was a big leap of faith, because that burning passion, you know, we're writers. If we love writing, it's not that passion is going to burn in there. And so writing and coaching is what I wanted to do. And because I talk about love so much that people just started calling me the Love Lady. You know, that lady talks about love. So I was the Chamber Lady, and they just transfused them together and called me the Love Lady.
I love that. That's good. Now, for those that don't know, Sally was our local chamber president. Am I correct, Sally? That was were you considered the president?
I was on the president of the board.
President of the board. Okay. And so that's how Sally and Victoria I'm sure that's how you two met. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's the chamber. Yeah.
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 So it's a small world. I love that.
I love that.
Well, I know that love plays a central role in your work. Can you share why you believe love is such a vital theme in literature and in your life?
Well, it is. You know, love gets kind of a mushy, gushy kind of image, but it's so much more than that. I like to call it a superpower, because it really is. I think Martin Luther King said something like, only love can turn an enemy into a friend. I'm sure I'm hugely paraphrasing that, but it makes sense when you think about it. You know, hate and more aggression is not going to turn an enemy into a friend, but love will. And I have a quote, and I would like to read it to you, because this is something that Albert Einstein said. He wrote a letter to his daughter explaining his thinking. And he says, when scientists looked for a theory of the universe, they forgot the most powerful unseen force, love. Love is light that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity, because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power, because it multiplies the best that we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. That was Albert Einstein.
Wow.
So love's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful thing. So, you know, I started out writing nonfiction, and then I've moved into fiction. And so I did a lot of talk about relationships and you know, loving and happily ever after, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you just can't talk about those things without talking about love. So I always like to include it.
Which are you drawn toward more, the fiction or the nonfiction narratives?
That's a good question. You know, because we kind of feel as writers sometimes that we need to get pigeonholed, maybe. And you talked earlier, you mentioned how we can switch genres. And I think people are open to that. I did start out writing nonfiction because I have this passion for talking about emotions and relationships. And but boy, I had these nonfiction ideas that I wanted to put in a fictional story because that sounded so much more fun. And I do have a lot of imagination. And I tell you, that was a blast. And if you love it, do it, right? So, you know, you can just make up any old thing and put it in there. And that's part of your world and your story. And so, yeah, I will always appreciate the tried and true principles. There's a lot of universal laws, you know, like law of attraction. We have law of gravity, you know, we can't change these things. So all those kind of things I kind of infuse into my stories. And those are real concrete things that you would put in a nonfiction book, but to weave those into a story and just live them like it's a story, that's really, really fun. So, yeah. Well,
speaking of the fiction versus the nonfiction, what aspects of each genre actually appeal to you? Because I've been kind of just sitting over in that nonfiction, and I'm trying to move into the fiction.
Because we like story, right? That's what everyone does. We put our life to a story. We tell our story. You know, who are you? That's our story. All of our experiences we put into a story in our own heads, whether we're writing them on a paper or not. So to get to know a character and live through that character, to me, that's just fun. That's engaging. You know, we all have different ways of learning. Some people maybe want to sit down with a bullet point list, and that makes more sense. But boy, if you could just get into a story, and that's what I really like about the nonfiction is being able to just go on this journey and live it with the person instead of after the fact. Here's these bullet points, apply these. You know, you're living the journey with the character. So that's the pro of, I would say, of fiction. And a lot of, you know, some people don't get into fiction. Honestly, I was one of those people because I always want real content. I want truth. I want things that are truly valuable that I can use in my life. But I'm going to spend hours reading something. I don't want to just made up stuff. So my fiction is an infusion of that. So you get to enjoy the benefits of story, but there's still like something like The Alchemist to compare it to that, for example. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in The Alchemist if you've read that. And my stories are like that. So you get the benefits of the fantastic journey, but you also get it infused with real life takeaways.
Something we can all relate to. Walk us through your writing process. Now, how do you, especially when you're talking about fiction, how do you generate your ideas and then finally put your pen to paper, so to speak, and then bring that to life? Do you have a process? For some of us, we have that story kind of running around, that fiction story in our minds, but then getting it onto paper seems to be the problem. And I have a lot of folks come to me and say, what's the process? How do I get started to get this actually on paper?
Well, in the beginning, when I was first writing fiction, and maybe the genre makes a difference too, and how your style is, and in just what you're comfortable with. So I don't think that any of us should pigeonhole ourselves into a particular method. Maybe try a few different methods and see what flows for you. When I was first writing fiction, I would do my little 3x5 cards. That was me. And I'd have, you know, chapter one, and then I'd put all my bullet points on there. And this is the material that I want to cover in that chapter. And then you just write through your bullet points, right? So you can pick out chapter 12 or chapter three, and pretty much you don't have to write sequentially, not really. And you make sure then all these things you've thought that need to go in the book, they're there. So then you just expand on them. So that works. And I've also done the outline method, where you basically just one big old outline. That's really where I truly started. And then I moved to the index cards. But now writing fiction, you just get to be so creative, you know, and I really like just getting in the zone, have my little space out here with lots of windows and trees and birds, whatever makes you feel most comfortable. When I wrote this last book, I had no outline, no bullet points, no index cards, no nothing, because I just started seeing it in my head like a movie, and I was just writing that down. And you get all these thoughts and just let them flow and just let everything get written down. But still, research is very much a part of it. So you would come to a point where there's a certain technology that's in the world, and I don't know anything about that technology. So then you spend a lot of time researching so you can make it factual, even though it's fiction. The story and the characters are fiction, but you still want the world to be real. So there's still a lot of research, I'd say, even in writing fiction. There could be, you know, depending on what kind of world you have, but it was for me.
Well, in your latest book, Polly Parker Meets Her Shadow, what actually sparked the idea for this story? And then how did you develop all of that intricate conflicts between the free thinkers and the seers? How did you come up with all that?
Well, it stemmed from, so in this world, the kids, it starts when they turn 14, our main character, Polly Parker, and we're talking about covers mm-hmm. today a lot. So
right,
let me
right.
the cover here. See if we can get it up close and make it.
Yes.
Is that visible?
Yes. That's a great cover.
I wanted to mention some things about the cover too, but to continue with that question, just for this particular book, because I am big on the emotions and relationships, I had this, I guess, concept of six master skills. So these six skills that if we all had these skills in life, pretty much that would satisfy your goals in life. I'm just going to give you one for example. So this is giving away one of the six secrets. One of them would be gratitude. And we talk about gratitude. It's not an unknown subject, but to think of it as a master skill and really realize the power associated with gratitude, because you could be having a bad day, and it could snowball. Bad days do that. And you sit down and you just start writing everything that you're grateful for. You can turn that around. And if you also apply gratitude to the law of attraction, then the what you think about, you get more of, right? So if you have a mindset of gratitude, you are going to attract more things to be grateful for. That's pretty magical. So this is a very magical school, but the magic is very, very real, which is really fun. So the book started with those six master skills, and the whole world created around that as a method of learning those six master skills, because that's what they learn. That's how they come to know their shadow, because those things that block us from knowing the six secrets, they're basically hidden in the shadow. So I want to do say something about this cover, if I can, real quick, because we're talking about covers. And I ended up going with an indie publisher for this.
Okay.
And but I became a member of the Authors Guild. Now, I think your programs that you offer are really good, even if you have a publisher who is going to be developing your cover for you, because you want your own concept. Now, it was really, really important to me to have final say over my cover. And I will tell you that we went through about nearly a dozen iterations before we got that The writing was easy, but the cover was hard because I'm like you. I felt it had to be really jump out because I know I walk through a bookstore just like you said, and if the cover doesn't grab me, that I'm not going to go any further. So if you are an Authors Guild member, one of the benefits of that is that there's a team of attorneys that will read over your contract for you, which I very much took advantage of that benefit. And so in our contract negotiations, I got approval for final say over the layout and the cover and all that kind of stuff, which was important to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe it won't be as important to someone else, but if there are certain things you want, I think it helps to have someone guide you through that important contract negotiations. And if you're self-publishing, for sure, you're making all those decisions yourself. So that was something that we actually worked probably the hardest on, but I'm really happy and the publisher's happy too, because we all feel like it was worth the extra steps that we took. We just had all these different wild ideas, mm-hmm. and finally one stuck.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like it was a good one. I love the cover.
We're happy with it.
Now, in reading Polly Parker Meets Her Shadow, I was so impressed with the world building that you did. You had to, for lack of a better way to say it, you had to, in words, paint that picture for your readers. And what can you share your insights on how you crafted the realm where thoughts manifest into reality? What were your insights into creating that world throughout that book?
That is the thing with fiction, because you have to allow so many more words for the world building that takes up a lot of space, and it might not necessarily be the most interesting stuff. I mean, you want to know the world, but we also want to get into the characters and the story and what's happening. Mm-hmm. So the world building was really pretty tricky. And I had so many more notes and pages of stuff on the world that I was cutting that out. Let's see how we can trim it down and cut it out. And the ideas about, manifesting thoughts and how they can, one scene in particular, which is a big one, is they go into this big holographic game and it's very real, which is really comparable to life because, we could manifest our reality. And so they go into this simulation, and the holograms are all over the place. It's a very high tech world, but it's not like the Jetsons, because technology works for us in this world. It's very much a world of nature, because in this world, in the future, which actually could be a world that we experience right now, technically, the genre of this book is magical realism. So it's fiction in a way that there's an element that we have to accept as real to get into the truth of the story, which is that we can actually see our shadow and separate it from our true self and learn about it and, have it be something that we recognize. So, that was just the wild concept, I guess. But other than that, the world can be very real. It could be a world that we live mm-hmm. in today. So, it's just a matter of revising that until it just sounds simple. That is my motto in writing, is the KISS principle. Keep it simple. And I mostly going back, I think I tend to put more words in and then I tend to go back and trim them out. Yeah.
I understand that. Now, Polly undergoes this whole journey of self-discovery. You want the story to move forward the whole time that you're writing the story. So how did you know how to arc that character, I guess, as she was growing on her self-discovery? How did you keep that moving forward?
As I really saw where this story was going, then I had the end in mind. So then you know a beginning and an end. So you're going to arc in between. And there's pacing, right? There's pacing, there's peaks and valleys, all these things that we don't necessarily think of at the start. Now, the manuscript, Polly's manuscript, was run through an AI program.
Okay.
To see where those peaks and valleys are, how the arcs are, how the theme compares, which is really wild, isn't it? That you can just insert yes. your manuscript in a program and it shows you the flow. It shows you just how successful they expect it to be. It's just crazy. So Polly was compared to the Hunger Games.
Okay.
Which I thought, well, I'll take that because one of my favorite authors is Suzanne Collins. I love her writing. I think she puts a lot of emotion in her writing. Her characters are, you know, you really feel what they're feeling. So yeah, you just kind of pace it. And if you know where your start and your end is, I think you just keep getting, you know, doing things in between to get to that new point.
Which again, you could do by some sort of an outline or bullet points mm-hmm. for those that are listening that are trying to actually lay out a story so that you can write in between and keep the plot moving forward. The book explores a lot of inner wisdom, you know, following one's own heart, you know, life's purposes, that sort of thing. Are you wanting the reader to take away a particular message from this book?
It actually
was that your intent though when you started writing it?
Oh yes, because okay. that's my passion. It really answers the question about life's purpose, honestly. It really does. And to think that you could read a book and it maybe only costs $15 or $20, my goodness, and you get all that from it. To me, that is a real gift. And I would love to give that gift to everyone. You know, even as adults, we're still questioning with these things. You know, what is my purpose? What am I here to do? What's the real meaning of life? These questions really never go away. And to be able to start answering them earlier in life, this is a young adult book, but actually probably 55% of its readers are adults. But yeah, to really think about, hey, this is a question worth answering and we can answer it. That, you know, that's important. So yeah.
Is Polly based on a real person or maybe on an earlier version of yourself, or is she totally fictional?
You know, how can we not base it on what we know, right? As writers, you're right. going to base it on what you know. But it's fun because when you are writing fiction, you can just wipe away your flaws, right? And then, or add more or whatever. So I do relate to her. I relate mm-hmm. to Polly a lot. And I love this world. I just really love it so much. When I'm out here writing, I just like don't want to leave. I want to stay immersed in the world because I love it so much. But yeah, what a way to create characters. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and different characters are different amalgamations of different people probably in my life. And yeah, it's fun because, you know, it's people we know. That's what's in our head.
Well, I often tell Mark that my goal someday is to move to, or just go visit maybe some small little town somewhere that I've never been and sit at the little breakfast bar of the little diner and then just look around and see who is really interesting in that diner and create a character based on somebody yeah. that I just chatted with. So now when we travel, Mark will elbow me and he'll say, there's a character for your book.
You're truly a writer mindset, aren't you?
so we talk like that all the time. So do you find inspiration just from folks that you've met over the years, or just even if you've seen a stranger that you just know has a story and you just think to yourself, I could include their storyline in my book?
Oh, we do that too. Like I'll see a couple that you don't even know, and you'll just sit there and imagine their whole story. And you just make up a whole story. Probably it may or not have anything to do with their real life, but you just, okay, they met when just 2 years ago, and they're their love of life, and they knew each other when they were younger, and they just reconnect, just make up the whole story. So any little thing in life, if we just stay perceptive, right, stay aware. It's easy to get in the routine of life sometimes, but as a creative mind, we want to keep staying aware. We want to stay aware anyway, but yes, that just feeds your writing skills if you stay perceptive and notice all the different people around you, the different places, the different possibilities. Then that's all more input into the storage centers up there, and at some point you'll draw that out, right?
Yes, and I love that too. Absolutely. Now, is there any tantalizing hints about the future, Polly?
Well, there is another book in this is
Okay.
a series, so there is another one, and the really fun part about it is I not to give away the ending, but there's a big change at the end.
Okay.
And but what we get to evolve into in the next book is a conclusion of this complete world. So if there's a prophecy in this world that if enough people learn the six secrets, so they become truly integrated with their true self, then we're not going to have any more devastating natural disasters like earthquakes and things like that. Our earth changes. It changes dimension. It changes to a more peaceful place. The whole energy of the earth changes. So we get to a point finally where we get to actually visualize that and see that and experience it. And that is really, really fun. And I've already written a lot of it, and it is really cool. I can't wait till everyone gets to experience it because it's really cool.
So I encourage all of you on this call to definitely pick up a copy of Polly Parker Meets Her Shadow and learn those six
Here
secrets.
she is. Yeah, it's fun. Okay, here she
It is
is.
a lot of fun. And isn't she adorable?
She
Yes,
really is.
Polly is very adorable. Now, you advocate for teaching emotions in schools. Why do you believe that emotional intelligence is crucial, and how can it benefit the students?
If you go to work and you're having a really bad day in your personal life, right? Is that not going to affect your business life? And these are not separate matters. So to me, I advocate for STEAM. Right now, our core curriculum centers around STEM, the acronym STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. To me, if we could put one keyword that encompasses all these personal things we're talking about, some people call it social skills, social emotional, soft skills. To me, I just use the word emotion, because it's just managing our emotions. Our emotions are so powerful, they drive everything we do. So to understand that is huge and very powerful, a very important knowledge. So we've changed the acronym to STEAM, STEEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, Emotions, and Math. To me, that is core curriculum. Yeah, I mean, it's just as important.
I love that, but how do you get that implemented, Victoria?
That's just a little small detail, right? I know, but the truth is that it is being more incorporated.
Yes.
Nearly every state has some kind of at least suggested recommendations. They're not necessarily required. They're suggested recommendations to incorporate social emotional learning is the term that the states use. But it is still obviously very controversial. Just in the last 2 years, 25 states had legislation represent presented to ban social emotional learning. If you can imagine that, as important as we're saying it is right now, but the topic, as many topics do politically, got convoluted with you know, people thinking they're mandating certain viewpoints and that kind of thing. So, you know, fortunately, those 25 states who tried to ban social emotional learning, it did not pass. But yet it just goes to show that it's still a very controversial subject when it's something in my mind that is so, so important. I always say, you know, Star Trek shows say space, the final frontier. I always say inner space. That's mm-hmm. the true final frontier. Because once we conquer inner space, you know, just think about that. Just think about the emotions and the memories, the hurt feelings, the kind of things that just get blocked inside of us. Those are our biggest barricades to our goals, you know, to our dreams. So to be at peace and have the knowledge of how to manage those things. I went to a class reunion one time with a friend. It wasn't my class reunion. And I was talking to a gentleman who had wanted to wrestle, but the coach had said something negative to him and he didn't know how to process that. So he just got mad or hurt and didn't wrestle. And I'm telling you, this was like, I think it was a 15-year reunion. And all these years later, the person is still mm-hmm. sad and mourning that loss. It changed his entire high school career. He didn't get to do something that he really wanted to do. And this many years later, it still affected his life. You know, wish I could do that. So just think of all the cases mm-hmm. like that where emotions affect the direction of our life, affect the course of our career decisions, because he didn't have anyone offer him the skill set to process that pain that he was given. And it therefore is something he's still mourning all those years later. That's powerful.
That's very powerful. Mm-hmm. That is very powerful. Wow. What advice would you give to aspiring young writers who are just starting their writing journey? And it doesn't matter how old we are. If you're still could be a young writer, if you're just starting your journey. What can you tell us, Victoria?
I would say, if you love it, do it. End of story. Truly. Then put a period on that. Because if you love it, do it. Find a way. I believe that the passions we have, the desires we have, the dreams we see, that is actually the blueprint that we were given for our reality, for what we are meant to do. Why fight it? Don't fight it. That's where your joy is going to come from. Mm-hmm. If you have a passion for writing, you love it, you do it, you find a way to do it. You know, a lot of us feel like we have to chase the dollar, we have to pay the bills. We can't do that. There's no money in it. But that's also where your joy is. Mm-hmm. We want to live a joyous life. Isn't that really what we want? So do it. Yeah.
I love that. Any questions or comments for Victoria? This has been great. Victoria, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. It's nice to see you again, Victoria.
Yeah, you too, Sally.
But I agree. Fiction is a powerful medium. And I was fortunate to teach high school English for many, 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 many years. And they were, I loved teenagers. And it may not mean much, a short story perhaps, or a longer story, but whether it was Shakespeare or Frankenstein or something funny, it provoked emotions. And humor, of course, is one of my favorite emotions, and that's good too. But I agree with you. I think the power of storytelling, whether it's fantastical or if it's in a very non-fictional feeling world, that's very important. And it's fascinating to hear you come, you know, do both, you know, the non-fiction side and then weave it, because audiences are varied, and the story, the points you're telling in your nonfiction, in your presentations, let's say about love, come up no doubt in your fiction piece. And it's almost like you go across the board and you're speaking the language that somebody needed to hear. So I think that's great.
Great point, Sandy. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. Debbie.
Victoria, I found that the descriptions and that you were using to describe your book, I looked it up on Amazon, and it's intrigued me enough because I'm down here with my daughter, and my one granddaughter doesn't know what kind of books she wants to read, even though she's 18, right? So I'm thinking, you know, this might be a good book for her to read. And so, you know, I just might order it and have it come while I'm here. But thank you very much for coming on today and sharing all of this great information with us.
Yeah, for sure.
My pleasure.
Yep. There's a
Debbie,
bookstore.
Thank you.
A bookstore that's gaining more. I can't remember the name of it, but it's gaining a lot of popularity. What do they do? There are no books that you just see the spine. You see the book cover. The book cover is always facing first. So they're picking up on that.
Yes, I love that because that's how I look for books.
Yeah, I do.
That's why that book cover is so important. Anyone else? Anyone else want to share?
Yeah.
Anybody that has a question, you can unmute. Even if you don't have your camera on, you can still unmute and ask Victoria a question. Victoria, I just want to say thank you again for being with us. And how can our folks connect with you?
I have a website. It's easy. VictoriaLowry.com. That's Victoria, LOWERY. There's a contact form on there. There's more about me as well. So if you do the contact form, that'll go straight to me.
Very nice.
You can connect that way. I'm, of course, on all the social media as well. And you, it's probably easiest just to get the links from there. So Facebook.
Yeah. And that's Instagram. Easy to just, yeah, to remember your name, Victoria Lowry. Just remember Lowry. It has an E-R-Y on the end. And then all of her contact links will be right there in the website. Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, Victoria, I will share with you one of the things that we do as a thank you to you is that we will add you to our speaker's cabinet. So that if other folks are looking for a guest to be on a podcast or an interview like this, they will be able to find you there. So that's going to be our free gift to you for being with us today. So thank you so much again for being here.
Wonderful. And thank you for having these conversations.
Well, our goal is to highlight authors that we know or authors that we wish we knew. And we're so glad to get to know you, Victoria. And
it's my pleasure.
Yes. And again, I encourage everyone to meet Polly Parker and learn her secrets.
I love her. That I love her face.
I
she's
do too.
Cute. She's so cute. And she got little freckles.
Yeah. But she's a searcher. You can see there's depth behind those eyes.
She's smart and she's adventurous and outdoorsy. A little naive though. But she learns.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Thank you everyone for being with us today. We're just a little over time, but it was worth it. And I just want to say thanks to everybody for being with us today. Join us every month. We have a different author on every month. We have a different topic every month. And sign up for that writer's workshop with Sandy and check out Sally's blog, embracetheunexpected.net.
Great.
We'll see everyone next time.
Bye. Stay well.
Bye.
Bye.